Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be back together again and able to turn to God's Word and see what He has to say for another day. We're going to be turning through to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but before we read our passage, as always, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We pray that you would bless it to our hearts, encourage our minds, help us to see rightly and to believe your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, reading verse 2 and 3. Now, I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions, even as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Well, what is 1 Corinthians 11 verse 2 to 16 all about? The passage which has had no small amount of contention, no small amount of debate. In fact, if you turn to the commentaries as I've done, you will discover a lot of words have been written about this passage. Probably one of the most debated passages, maybe not the most, but pretty close to it. And so I'd love to ask you what you think this passage is all about. Maybe you say to yourself, well, that's very simple, Logan, because it tells me, if you look at the very top, it says head coverings. At least it does in my ESV Bible anyway. It's all about head coverings. It's all about whether ladies should wear hats or whether they should wear scarves or whether they should have doilies on their heads or insert veil, whatever. You know, the funny thing is that every time someone talks about this passage, they want to talk about and they want to ask one very simple question: should women wear hats when they go to church? And the sad thing is that when we do that, we actually miss out on a whole bunch of amazing biblical truth that is contained in this passage. And as far as I'm concerned, I find it really disappointing that Bibles use titles like head coverings in the ESV to tell you what this passage is all about. Because that's really not what this passage is all about. Yes, that's a part of it. But actually, the whole head covering issue, although that's sort of the issue that Paul is addressing in Corinth, it's not really the core issue. And there's actually greater things that motivate the Apostle Paul than just whether women should wear hats or not. And hopefully, over the next few days, as we walk through this section together, we'll be able to see some of the beauty in this passage and, yes, attempt to answer the question, should women wear hats in church? But firstly, I just want us to notice sort of one of the driving motives in this passage, because it's actually really important. And this comes out to us when we go to the end. If you have a look down at the very bottom, it says in the last verse, if anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. Now, the reason I want to point you to that is that, unfortunately, what's happened is that this verse has, well, not this verse, this section, has ended up causing a whole bunch of contention in the church. So Paul writes through and he says, here's all this information. And then he says, now, if you're going to be contentious, too bad, we've got no other practice. And then we make a whole bunch of contention about this, and we argue with one another, and we get upset at one another, and we see Christians down-crying one another and tearing one another apart, all in the name of seeking to be faithful to a text which says, let's not be contentious, because this is how we dwell in the church. Do you see the madness of that? And I actually think it's really important for us to actually start off by reminding ourselves of that. That whatever position we're going to come to, wherever we're going to land, whatever position you are going to take, and whatever position I'm going to hold to, however we're going to interpret this passage, it ought not to divide, it ought not to create tension, it ought not to create contention, but rather, we should come to submit to the Word of God before the Lord, in keeping with the previous statement of Paul, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Embracing all of the principles that have gone before, being willing to lay aside my rights and privileges, being willing to put up with a weaker or a stronger brother, all of those principles, being able to embrace all of those for the sake of Christ. Rather than this becoming a passage that I use like a mace to beat my brother or sister with. How many times I've heard of churches and ministers that have done this, that have made this issue their issue, and they're going to correct everybody else, and they have the perfect understanding, and everybody else is wrong, and so it's their job to fix everybody else, and they become contentious. Isn't that sad? Especially when we consider that throughout church history, there's been a whole bunch of different agreement on this passage, that you're not going to find a unified position absolutely everywhere, that at different times, different sides of the argument have been stressed. Let's just keep in mind that none of us have an infallible understanding of Paul's intention in this section. And this is highlighted by the fact that if you turn to the commentaries, you're going to get a whole lot of different perspectives. And I looked through 38 of them. You're going to get a whole lot of different perspectives. So let us have what I love to call epistemological humility. Let me say that again. Epistemological humility. Epistemological, the study of how we think and learn. So just the way you think. Humility, you know what humility is. Recognizing that none of us is the source of all truth. Only the scriptures are. And because we're fallen, often we're fallen, and our thinking really highlights that. But whatever we do, let us strive for togetherness and building up the body of Christ, not tearing it down, as sadly this passage has been wont to do. And so let me just, following this introduction, before we get into the text tomorrow, let me just highlight the way Paul starts this section. It's really beautiful. He says to them, I commend you. Why does he commend them? Because they have willingly remembered him and maintained the traditions. Now, the word traditions there, don't think of the Pharisees and their traditions when Jesus says, you maintain the traditions of the elders, like the washing of hands, but you reject the word of God. Paul's talking about the traditions, in other words, the godly traditions that the apostles are passing on. The word of God that they're bringing, that they're uttering. They're maintaining those things. So Paul, in spite of everything that's gone before, is able to say, you're seeking to maintain the truth. But, he says in verse 3, but there's something you're not doing very well at. You're not living out the reality of headship properly. And so he starts with that but. And we're going to get into headship tomorrow, but very briefly, the whole section that we're about to deal with is not so much about headship, but it's about, sorry, not so much about headship, it's not so much about head coverings, but it's primarily about headship and the way that gets expressed in the church, the way the roles of men and women interplay together within the church. And he's effectively addressing two issues here. One he's taking up here, and the other he's going to pick up later. You see, in Corinth, there are some women who are praying and prophesying and coming to church and acting without a head covering. They're acting not in keeping with their role and position as women underneath a head being a man, a husband. So there's these women in the church who are not fulfilling their role as women in the church. That's the primary core issue. We're going to talk about praying and prophesying in women. We're going to talk about headship and what's going on here. But that, at the end of the day, that's the nugget issue. The primary issue is not, do we wear head coverings? The primary issue is, how do we express our femininity and masculinity in the church, in the way God's made us as image bearers? And the question of praying and prophesying comes into that. And the question of wearing a head covering comes into that. But let us keep at the forefront of our minds that this issue is about how we express ourselves as men and women in the church. And that is a core central issue that we need to wrestle with. And Lord willing, we'll start doing that tomorrow. But you're going to have to wait till then. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can begin to delve into this passage, which has caused so much contention and yet is so beautiful. And so we do pray and ask that over the next week, you would help us to see the beauty of this text. Because it is your word, and it's useful, and it's here to build us up. So help us to think rightly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks very much. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon.